The question today is, what does the Trojan horse principle, how does it apply to us spiritually? Well, we talked about the Trojan horse in yesterday's broadcast, how that, of course, the principle of that, the city of Troy was besieged by the Greeks, and they sailed away after 10 years and find out they couldn't really enter in, but they had a spy infiltrate into the city. They built a horse, set it outside the city, and the spy caused the people inside the city to bring the horse inside. That night, after the horse was inside, the spy opened the horse up. The warriors got out, killed the guards, opened the gate, let the Greeks who had sailed back into the city, and the city was destroyed. We said that the same basic principle is used in computer systems today. If someone has come up with something they call the Trojan horse, you open up the attachment that thing comes in on, and as a result, your whole computer will be destroyed. And we said every facet of our lives have been touched by the Trojan horse principle. We've opened up and allowed the devil to come inside in our government, in our homes, in our school system, in our churches, and in our hearts as well. And as a result, we're just about destroyed today. Now, Jesus built the church and said upon this rock, upon himself, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church that he was going to build. And he instituted during his ministry. But yet we, for the last 50 years, have failed to charge the gates of hell and destroy them. Instead, we've taken the Trojan horse in, the Trojan horse of easy believism in our churches, and our churches are filled with people that's lost from the front door to the back, from the pulpit to the back pew, if you please, is what I'm talking about. And you know, we wonder why we have such problems. And I dealt with some of those sayings of what we're captured by the easy believism that come in many forms. And I do not know all of the forms that comes in. I'm finding more every day. Also, we said that there's a horse left before us that's called grace. And grace is a good word and a good thing. But yet the people, because we've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, which is refusing to acknowledge God's word. And we said, as we talked about Romans 12:1, where he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I said that what's happened, we've not presented our bodies. And what we've done today, we've refused to acknowledge God's word, and we've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And when a person refuses to dress, put on that body, which is the naos, which is the temple, which is the holy of holies, where God wants to dwell in the saints of God, he does dwell. But if we refuse to do it and have no discipline and no chastisement about that, then God says that you're not saved. You're just a professor and not a processor. So we dealt with some of that. But also, not only what you put on this body as far as clothes is concerned, but what about the hair situation? We're living in a day and in the 60s where the long hair came on the scenes. And there was some man in the 1960s that said, boys, you can rebel against your mom and daddy. You can rebel against establishment by growing your hair long. And by doing that, you're saying, I'll do what I want to do, not what you want me to do. In other words, they're refusing to acknowledge the authority of mom and dad. And yet men are doing this in our churches today, and it's moved in to where men wear long hair. And God says in his word that in 1 Corinthians 11:14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame to him. In other words, they are putting on their body long hair, and women are putting short hair. And God said long hair on a woman is her glory. And she should not have. In other words, from behind, a man should look like a man and a woman like a woman. Now, I know back in the days of our early foundation, there was men who had so-called powdered wigs and wore long hair, but it was a sign of dignity then. In other words, what it was associated with then. And yet the women even wore theirs longer. And you definitely could tell a woman from behind and a man from behind. But today you cannot hardly do that. That is not right. And then we're moving in an area today where we're talking about this body's to be presented holy. And yet people today who claim the name of Christ are putting tattoos all over their body. And they're piercing, have body piercing, and even their ears pierced. And Leviticus 19:28 says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I'm the Lord. You say, but that's law. We're under grace. That's true. If you're saved And the grace of God knows not to be turned in lasciviousness, refusing to acknowledge God's word when he said, present your body a living holy sacrifice. And tattoos and body piercings is not a living holy sacrifice, you see. And yet you realize something, if you're not saved, you are under law and you'll be judged by law. And all the law brings is condemnation and death and be lost forever if you're not saved. And so therefore, and by the way, to do those tattoos, body piercings and whatnot that you do, you're identifying with the world and with the homosexual movement, see. And so you need not to identify. Listen, these men wearing even these necklaces today, identifying with the world and the homosexual movement, effeminate. And God says the effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you can continue that and practice that, you're not saved to do that. And so I know I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I understand that. But this is what God's word says. And we've opened the Trojan horse principle to where it's become really our guideline in our churches today. And you realize something. He talks about not only what you put, how you treat your body on the outside, but how you treat it on the inside. In other words, we're not to be gluttons. Proverbs 23:1-2 says, when thou settest to eat with a ruler, consider diligent what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to an appetite. In other words, don't take care of your bodies, it's a sin. God said, don't need to put things in it you don't need. Things that's contrary, such as wine and strong drink and dope and that type of things. I'm not talking about medicines can be used for a short period of time, but I'm talking about things that God says not to do. And by the way, the wine bibbers he talks about. He said, that includes social drinking, for the word says not even to look on it, let alone drink it. Proverbs 23:31 says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it moveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. We're not to put that stuff in our bodies. We're to present it holy. But yet the devil has given us and said, you've got grace. You can drink a little wine with your dinner and it's okay. It's not so. It's not okay. I know some people who do that and say it's all right, but it is not all right. It is not what God said. And for you to refuse that, you're refusing to acknowledge the authority of God's word, and that's lasciviousness, and lasciviousness leads to destruction. The Bible said they who practice naturally will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me say this. It's not right to play the lottery and their games of chance or go to the casinos. I don't care if our government even says that it's entertainment. It is still not right. It's wrong. It's for the Christians, the saints of God, to do that, you see, because it's not according to God's word. Let me say this. The kind of music you listen to, the kind you put through your ear gate into this body. In other words, it's not right. God said be presented holy. In other words, we ought not to listen to all that old country music that's is suggestive and sensual. That rock music's got the wrong beat to it. That rap music, if you want to call it that. And even if it's got so-called Christian words to it, it's not right. And our churches have been infiltrated to the extent they want to beef up the music. And so we can get our young people to come. Listen, if you don't come for the gospel of Christ, for the truths of God's word, you'll not stay. You realize what you get them with, what you've got to keep them with. And if you don't get them with truth, they'll never be able to call on the Lord and be saved. Man says you've got to call on him in truth. The Lord says that in Psalm 145, you've got to call on the Lord in truth. In truth. So you see, our music should be according to what God said in his word in Ephesians 5:19. He said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. If a music, all it does is move the flesh, then it's not right. It's not right. It's lasciviousness. You've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. But preacher, you say, I'm under grace, not the law. I've got liberty. It's true if you're saved, you're not under law, but it's also true if you're not to, that you're not to use the grace and liberty as a license to sin. If you do, that's lasciviousness, refusing to acknowledge the authority of God's word. If you and your church practice these things, you've opened the Trojan horse of the devil and are allowing that principle to operate in your churches. And the outcome is destruction, just like the city of Troy was destroyed. You can read Romans 1:19 through 28. And you'll find that if you practice lasciviousness, in other words, what light you have will be turned into ignorance, and God will pull back the hedge around you that he's got around you, and you'll be given over to uncleanness, vile affections, and reprobate minds, which means that you're not saved and you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21 says the sins of the flesh are envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Included in that, in verse number 19, is lasciviousness. Lasciviousness that I think I've read that already in this these broadcast about the Trojan horse principle. But the thing about it is the Lord admonished his people in Jeremiah 6:16 to stand ye in the old ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, which is the good way, and walk therein, ye shall find rest for your souls. But they plainly say, we will not walk therein, we'll not do it. They plainly said that. And now that you've been admonished by what the Word of God says, what will you say, and what will you do? I'm not condemning you, but just trying to let you see that the Trojan horse principle is operating in our churches, and it will destroy them if it hadn't already done that. All I'm trying to do is hold the fort, to have a place where truth will prevail. Trying to put out on the radio broadcast where truth will prevail. I love you, and I'm concerned for what's going on. Listen, I'm vexed and grieved when I see lasciviousness being practiced by those who claim to be saved. And so somebody says, well, preacher, what you're talking about, this principle of the Trojan horse applying to us spiritually, is no new good news in that. It's all bad news, and it's bad, bad, bad. But I want to say there's good news, for there's hope and help at the foot of the cross. Oh, thank God for what Jesus has done. He went to the cross of Calvary and died that we might have life. And it don't matter how far you've gone or how much you've done or how many of these things you've practiced, how you've used your liberty for a license to sin, the Lord loves you. He's reaching out to you. He's trying to give you truth and the Holy Spirit stirring in your heart. And that little doubt that you've got down inside is God trying to tell you, you need to go further. You need to heed what's being said. And you need to get hold of some truth. We have a series of tapes called The Road of Life. We'd be glad to give to you and send to you. That'll help you see what the ingredients of real salvation is. Not easy believism, but real salvation. Oh, listen, I long to say like John did in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Oh, folks, I beg you, don't practice the Trojan horse principle, because it'll turn your grace of God into lasciviousness. In other words, refusing to acknowledge the authority of God's Word, and that brings destruction. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.